Romans 1. I want to talk about God's grace has been revealed. And, of course, the message this morning was motivated by the events of what happened this week. And the thing I'm going to be saying is Scripture. It's out of the Word of God. And there's been a lot of politicizing over this event, of course, as we know, from gun control to he had a mental problem to all this stuff. And you've not heard anybody really say this, because they're not going to say it in any kind of social media outlets. But we want to talk about where evil really comes from. And there really is an evil that's on the earth. Mel explained it very well earlier. There is an evil that's on the earth. Where does evil really derive from? I mean, there's many points we can make, from the fall of man to all that. But where evil really comes and where people begin to operate in evil ways is really pretty simple. Evilness comes from a rejection of God's authority. It's really where it comes from. A rejection and rebellion against God's authority. That's where evil comes from. Grace has been revealed to us, as Randy said earlier, it's from Genesis all the way through. We see grace in the Old Testament so many times if we'll open our eyes to really see and understand it. We think of the Old Testament as being something of old laws and old ways, and we're not under that anymore. We're not under the law. We understand that. But we see Jesus pointed out throughout the Old Covenant. We see the grace of Jesus pointed out as early as Cain and Abel. Remember when Cain murdered his brother and God punished him, said you'll be a vagabond, a wanderer, nothing you'll sow will produce. He says, but people will kill me. And God's grace was seen in the point. It says, I'll put a mark upon you that whoever kills you will pay sevenfold. We even see a glimpse of God's mercy and grace even with Cain's murder, because God is truly a God of love. God is not a God of hate and anger. He's a God of love and of mercy. We see God's grace with Noah as he saved Noah's family from the flood and restored the earth. We see God's grace through Joseph and through Abraham and through Moses. And we definitely see God's grace through the children of Israel. I mean, think about it. 10 plagues, didn't touch them. What was that? God's grace. The blood of those animals was the sacrifice needed. But it was truly God's grace that kept those plagues from coming in. So we've seen God's grace throughout all generations, pointing to an authority of God, that there is a God, that there is a holy God. So where does all this evil come from? It comes from a lack of recognition and submission to the authority of God. If we reject the truth of God, we will accept the lies of Satan. It's that simple. Let me explain it this way. Every person from Little Maverick right there, every little person that's born on the earth, they're born with a conscience. Now I'm talking about if they're born normal, mentally normal. I know there are people that are born, you know, mentally retarded and things like that. But I'm talking about for a person that has normal emotion. Each person born has a conscience. Who put it there? God did. And you remember as a little boy when you first started doing little things, or a little girl, how you felt that guilty feeling. Now, I'm talking about before you were saved. You felt a little guilty feeling. You're 4 years old, and you're sneaking around mama's, you know, in the house, doing something you shouldn't be doing, hiding, got your little brother on lookout. Why? Because you know you're doing something wrong, and you feel guilty for it. Now, we have a choice when that guilt happens. Now, we have a choice how to respond to that. When the guilt comes, we have two choices. We listen to it, and we fess up, or we reject it, and we hide it. Here's how evil springs forth. And here's what happens to mankind and humanity. That when that conscience, that tender part of inner man that God put there, when it continues to reject correction and reject truth when it comes, we harden our little hearts. And the more our hearts are hardened, the harder it is to see and hear and experience truth. It's just like any sin we indulge in. We do it once, so much easier to do it a second time. You steal one time, it's much easier to steal a second time. You cheat one time, it's a lot easier to cheat the second time. We see how this pattern goes to humanity, because we begin to take the conscience and close it up. The difference in a person that says, you know what, I'm wrong, I'm going to listen to that conscience, I'm going to do what's right, and I'm going to obey that truth, versus the person that says, no, I'm not going to listen to it, I reject that truth, then our heart becomes darkened, and then we begin to walk in things we shouldn't be walking in. All of us are born with that conscience. God gave us that. And if you think back to when you were a child, you know, if you can remember that long, especially your D's age, if you can remember that long to when you was a child, remember the times you did things and you felt guilty for it and you didn't tell your parents? And there may be things you still hadn't told your parents. I'm sure there are. There's things we all ain't told our parents. You got anything you want to tell Dad right now? Okay. There's things that we still hadn't confessed to. And we do those things, and we hope to God nobody finds out. And so we hide it in a compartment, hoping nobody ever sees it. And the more we do those things, the more hardened we become, until we truly have a mind that becomes seared to understand any truth. Look at Romans 1, what Paul says. We're talking about grace being revealed. Verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, what is the gospel? What is the true gospel? The gospel is the grace of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. It means good news. The good news is that we're not saved by ourselves, that Jesus died that we could be saved. The good news is we didn't deserve it, but God gave it to us. The good news is that we are free from all judgment if we are in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel, and that's pretty good news. This is what Paul's trying to preach. Next verse he says, "For herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed." Now verse 17 says the righteousness of God is revealed. "Now the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, let's think about this. We know God's a just God. So how can wrath be poured out from God if grace has not first been shown? That's the kind of God we serve, because God's just. Kind of like when you tell your child something. None of you, hopefully, you know, just, you know, throw wrath on your child the very first time or for something you never told them to do. You just go off, "Rah, rah, rah, well, you never told me." "Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry. I take it back." "Rah, rah, rah." I mean, you can't take it back. They're, you know, they're scarred. They're bruised. I'm talking about inside. They're bruised. But when you tell them something and you reveal truth to them, don't do that. If you do as a consequence. Then they do it. Then comes the consequence. But first they had truth revealed. First they knew what not to do. They knew it. "I don't touch it." See, I learned from that, even, and I don't remember that, but I'm sure as a child I retained that enough to realize that when I walked in the kitchen and saw that square box called a stove, bad thing, me get hurt. We think that because she taught me that. She first revealed truth to me, not wrath. What would the wrath have been if I stuck my hand on a hot stove, right, and seared my hand? That would have been the wrath of the stove. But first truth was revealed. So see, God is saying, "My wrath will be poured upon unrighteousness, but I've showed you truth first. I've revealed grace to you first. You've had a chance to see me, to hear me. You were born with a conscience, a choice to choose. Is this wrong, right or wrong? Do I lie? Do I hold it back? Do I sneak around? Or do I confess and be honest?" So he gave us that to begin with. Then the more we harden that little conscience, the harder it is to hear truth and see truth, and especially walk in truth. Look at verse 19. "Because that which may be known to God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." We've taught on this before. What's Paul saying? Creation has been created itself to point to God, that there's no excuse. I don't care what language you are, what race you are, what religion your country is. When a person rises out of their bed and sees the same sun we see, the same moon we behold, all the same creation that we see, it points them to something bigger than themselves. God's making it clear, you're not in charge. You didn't make this. You didn't design this. There's something bigger than you, and it's called me. And there's a natural tendency for mankind to draw himself unto God. You realize even the person that doesn't go to church, that doesn't say they're even a believer, in the most critical times of their life, in those moments of crisis, who do they turn to? Don't they? You know why? Because we were created inside all humanity that there's a longing for a higher relationship. That's why people turn to God. People that don't even go to church, people that swear, drink, cuss, fornicate, you know, condemn God, you know, I don't believe in that Jesus stuff. But when something happens in their lives, they'll tell you at Walmart, you know, pray for me. Why? You don't believe nothing, do you? But there's that tendency and longing that there's something bigger than them. You know what? They're asking for help. It's kind of like a woman. Now, ladies, don't shout me down here because I'm way outnumbered. I always am on Sundays. And you get these men in church. Women, I don't care how successful you are as a woman, how much money you have, how independent your spirit is. I don't need nobody. Inside of that lie you're telling yourself, there's a natural human desire as a woman that you want to lean on a man. That you want to. See that lie right there, boy. that you want to. That day on that activity bus, you let me kiss you on the cheek, you sure didn't jerk away. Yeah, you like that. Anyway, there's a natural leaning that we have toward, you know, I talk to a lot of women, and they tell me, they tell me that I wish my man would step up. I'm tired of being responsible. I'm tired of running the house. I'm tired of running the money. I'm tired of doing everything. I wish my man would step up and be a man. Got an amen back in the corner. Gonna be a quiet lunch. So, we have that longing, though. Women have that longing. Why does a woman, and I'm not picking on the women, I'm just saying, why does a woman keep going to bad boys? And she knows they're bad. He's a bad boy. He ain't no good. Ain't going to work. Ain't no count. Ain't going to treat me right. I love you. Why? Because they've got to have something to feel that longing, and they'll even suffer the wrong man to have that relationship. Now, church, I'm right on that. Y'all can say I'm not. That is truth. You do a survey, that's truth. And God put that there. God put it there. We have need for relationship. Men have needs too. Absolutely. We won't go into that this morning. We're going to stick to the women today. But we have the same need for God. That there's an inner desire that points us that we need something bigger than us. And creation teaches us that. You know, why is space? I saw a video, and I'm going to show this sometime, a video clip of our galaxy. And it did it like on a picture thing. Just our galaxy compared to total area of space they've actually discovered is like a pinhead in a desert. I mean, it's absolutely almost unmarkable. That's how vast space is. We just see our little sky in our yard or the little globe or, you know, our little solar system and think, yeah, it's pretty big. But it goes on and on and on and on forever. There's no way that it just happened. There's God pointed through creation that there's Him. Call on me. You may not know my name because of the way you were raised, but call on me. Lord, I know there's a God. There's a supreme being bigger than me. Show me truth. Before you know it, God reveals Himself to mankind. I mean, in a personal way, because we've asked for it. Creation teaches us that there's a God. I love Psalms 19:1. Psalm 19:1 says this, let the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament is His handiwork. The heavens declare. You know what that verse is saying? That what you see is shouting from the top. The sun is shouting, hello, there's a God. The moon is saying, hey, you down there, I'm not a piece of blue cheese. I am the creation of an almighty God. The stars, they sprinkle and blink and they change, they fade. You see new ones pop in, new ones go away. God is saying, look up here. I am the Lord thy God who created you. How can you not look at that and know grace has been revealed? That there's something bigger. The mountains shout it from the top. When you go through the Blue Ridge Mountains, you see God screaming to his voice, "Here I am, see what I have done. This handiwork is by my hands and my hands alone. You didn't build that mountain. You didn't create that ocean. You didn't create that animal world. You didn't put them planets in space. I did all of that." Now we're getting to our message here about evil, so hang with me just a minute. Right now we're talking about grace being revealed and how that mankind refuses to accept that. We have people that will look at creation and look at all the things in life and be so blind and so refutive in their argument there's a God. That's just, that happened, ain't no God, there ain't no supreme being. And we need to know what the truth is. There's a new guy going around. I shared a clip of Mom on YouTube. The guy in South Florida, you may have heard of him. He's the new Jesus. Hispanic guy's got a church down in South Florida, and he's got thousands and thousands of followers. He's in 20 nations, and he says he is Jesus, the second return. And he doesn't believe in Satan, doesn't believe in hell, doesn't believe prayer makes any difference. And what else did he believe in? All these things he doesn't believe in. He's got a security team that follows him. His congregation calls him Father and Daddy because he's Jesus. The interview on NBC News said this. They said, "Pastor, I noticed one thing that you do believe in the Bible, and that's the offering." And it showed these buckets with all this money being poured in. People have bought him brand new cars. He's got a big mansion he just sold off. He's got all this stuff. He's got three or four Rolexes. And his response is, "Well, God wants everybody rich." So the offering is one thing he still, you know, I guess Jesus needs an offering, right? Jesus needs a Rolex. Jesus needs a mansion. Jesus needs a new BMW. But we have this, and these people, you ought to see them. It's got good. If you YouTube, preacher says he's Jesus, it'll pop all these things up with this man. And it shows followers just following him, and oh yeah, he's Jesus, and I'll do anything. There are people who have sold companies and given to him, whole companies, and given to him. I mean, can you imagine? Good gracious. This is what we're dealing with, all this mixed, and people need to know the truth of the gospel and what it is. Because the deceiver is out there deceiving many people, and while they're following this idiot, they're missing the truth of God completely. They're not seeing Jesus, and that's the danger. Let's move on. We're going to get the evil part. Verse 20. Here's what happens. Here's what I was talking about a while ago, that if we don't accept the truth of God, we believe the lies of Satan, and then we act out those lies, become the evil that we have believed. Verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. In other words, when they had a chance, when they saw things, when God began to show them, and they keep rejecting and rejecting and rejecting truth, rejecting, rejecting, not seeing God, denying it, then what happens? Their heart is darkened because they didn't retain him in their knowledge. This is why it's important. This is why you hear people say that it's much easier, and God can do anything. He draws people. But it's much easier for a young person to receive salvation, to come to Jesus, because their hearts are tender and they hear more clearly. As we get older and become more independent and don't live our lives for God, we think we're okay. I've lived 30 years without God. I don't need him now. I lived 40 years without God. Now I live 50 years. I don't need God. And we pick up all this stuff in the world that just darkens our heart. And when that happens, evil begins to come forth. Because evil can't be described away. And I'm telling you, we got psychiatrists, we got psychologists, we got doctors with a lot of degrees, and all these people that are, you know, in the special field of identifying all this. And it's not about having an issue or having a bad parent or about doing this. It's about evil, church. It's about evil. Evil is in the earth. Darkness is in the earth. There is demonic spirits, like Melly said, inhabiting hosts called human flesh, that causes human flesh to react in an evil and dark way. How do we stop this? How does a person stop that? They accept the truth of God. They don't reject. They don't deny. It's just like you keep rejecting your boss's authority. You're going to basically be fired. Your boss tells you don't do that again. You do it again. Quit taking all them breaks. I'm going to take a break anyway. I don't care what my "by deserve this break by George." Little young 22-year-old punk ain't got nothing on me. I'll smoke till I die in this break room. He'll have to fire me. Then I'll get unemployment. Praise God. Obama's appointment next year. Hallelujah. So what happens? The boss fires you, and you start crying. Well, I told you. You kept projecting the rules. Really? I've shown you what to do, and you don't do it. So grace was revealed first. Then wrath comes. Grace is revealed through creation. Grace is revealed through God's voice. Grace is revealed through humanity. We see the grace of God. And when we reject that grace, reject that truth, we allow wrong spirits to come into our lives. Look at it even in the natural. If you've got a stubborn husband or wife, you try to talk to them about it, and they reject it. I ain't stubborn. What are you talking about? I ain't stubborn. And they never really deal with that. They never really try to work on that. Nothing ever changes. Because they won't come clean and say, you know what? I am stubborn. I can admit I'm stubborn. I need help. I'm going to go to SA. Stubborn Anonymous. I'm going to go and get help because I know I need it. When we reject and don't allow God's truth to set up in ourselves, if we just keep, you know, I don't want it, don't want to hear it, don't want to hear it, don't want to hear that stuff, don't hear that stuff, don't hear that stuff, then we allow for everything else to be heard. When we silence the voice of God, we awaken every other voice. It's important to realize that. And that's where evil comes from. Rejection of God's truth. Rejection. I mean, that's where the fallen man came. They rejected God's truth. God told them truth. They rejected and went against it. Did something opposite of what he told them to do. They rejected and they rebelled against the truth. Thus the fallen man. And we see it throughout every generation. Rejection of God's truth. We've seen Israel. How many times did Israel get captive and, you know, enslaved and war, all that? I mean, over and over, war, over and over throughout their history because they kept rejecting God's truth. They go for a while, then turn away. Go for a while, turn away. Go for a while. The grace was revealed. Then wrath came. We see this evil in our land. We see it covering the land. What makes a person do what happened this week? Evil. Demonic force, evil. Mentally unstable? Maybe. But what caused the mental instability? Evil. Darkness. Satan. Nobody wants to talk about that. Because everybody thinks it's a fairy tale. Demonic forces are evil or Satan. Not real. Doesn't exist. We try to justify and make excuses why people do things wrong. When it all comes down to rejection of truth. Where would you be today? I want you to think about this. Where would you be today if you had not accepted the truth of God? Where would your life be? How different would it be? If you hadn't accepted, when you heard God speak and you begin to feel God draw you, that you follow that drawing. You said, God, I feel you. I hear you. Here I am. Still saying, I don't want what I'm feeling. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. We reject. God is a God of grace and a God of love and a God of mercy. He's not a God of wrath and anger. Wrath of God and judgment of God comes after grace has first been revealed. And we refuse that grace. We're still trying to refuse it. Even with religious circles, we try to refuse it with our works and we're doing things that we think earn salvation and make us more righteous instead of just accepting the free gift of grace God gave us. It's a free gift, church. Walk in it. Express it. Enjoy it. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. You know, Psalm says, the foolish man says there is no God. Here's a generation of people that think they got it all together. They're smart. Very smart, but deny God. Very smart, but deny truth. Very smart, but deny the Holy Bible. Very smart in the natural things, but a fool spiritually. And that's what's happened. Everybody's got smart all of a sudden and think we know more than God and think there is no God. And, you know, there's a movement now. It's always been, but there's more of a movement of, you know, humans thinking it's up to them what life dictates, up to what I do. Humanity thinks they're the top of the line, the chain, and we're not. God's the top. Humanity's not the top of the chain, church. It's not about, we can't make ourselves live outside God's breath. We can't make ourselves exist outside of God's breath. We can do all we can, but my security and my protection and my peace comes from God. I mean, they could have four armed gunmen at Cloverleaf School watching over my Ashley. Everywhere she went down the hall, four gunmen around her arm waiting to see if anything happened. Where they go take care? They go watch my Ashley. But that's not where my protection is at. My protection is still in the Almighty God. And when we start trying to think we can do something, we're in trouble. This is what David did. He started numbering his army, remember? I will go number my soldiers, number my animals, number my mules, number my chariots. And God got mad. Why are you numbering them? Are you trusting them to give you victory? I'm your God. I'm your God. Now, I'm all for the gun amendment. All for it. 100% into it. But that's not where my trust lies. My trust lies in God. My trust lies in the one that can protect me from all harm. The one that everywhere I go, his angels surround my family and surround me. See, Psalms 91 is my ammunition. Psalms 91 is my 9mm. Psalms 91 is what I live by. God, if I abide under the shadow of the Almighty, Lord, there shall no plague come nigh my dwelling. 1,000 fall at thy right side and 10,000 at thy left, but it shall not come nigh thee. That's my ammunition. That's my protection. It's God. And that's what God desires, is us once again to acknowledge him as the authority over our lives. God, I can't do nothing without you. I can't rise, I can't sleep. I can't walk, I can't wake, I can't live. I can't bring my kids to the home every day. God, that's you. I send them forth. They're in your hands. Me and my wife go to different places. We're in your hands, God. We come back safely together because of you and you alone. Your protection. Evil comes from people rejecting truth. And when they reject truth, spirits come in. See, we as Christians have the Holy Spirit abiding our host. And we're led and guided by the Holy Spirit of God. That's what leads us. That's what guides us. That's what teaches us. That's how we live our lives, by the Holy Spirit. But for those that reject that truth, they're wide open to anything that comes along. Like the old country song, right? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. That's very spiritual, actually. If we don't stand and know what we stand for, we will fall. These thousands of followers following this guy in Florida have just, they don't have any sense. I mean, really? I'm Jesus Christ, second coming. He says in 1974, the resurrected Jesus of Nazareth came to him and embodied himself into him. And people are getting new cars and new houses out of this. Hey, church, I'm Jesus Christ. I mean, can you imagine? Really? Good gosh. Thousands of people. They'll believe that. And you got people who can't believe the real truth. Unbelievable. You need to Google that. It's very interesting. Just to see the cult that's being formed out there. It's what it is. Evil comes from rejection of truth. Don't reject truth. Maybe sitting there today thinking, this really ain't for me, Pastor. I mean, I'm saved. I'm in church. Well, one thing, because you're in church, don't mean you're born again. We all know that. Number two, because you're saved and born again doesn't mean you still don't have issues and open doors that the enemy can use. We must accept truth whenever it is, when it comes. How about after you're saved? God still sends truth to us. Accept that truth. Guard that heart. Guard your mind from all that is out there. And when your conscience is disturbed again as an adult, listen to that. Respond positive to that so that you are not hardened, so that things cannot come into your life to control you that you don't want in there. Because a demon spirit has to have something physical to abide in. That's what does its work. Kind of like how a person does a puppet. The puppet can't move on its own. Has to have somebody's hands pulling the strings. Demon spirits have to have human flesh to pull the strings. God's grace has been revealed, and I'm excited about that, church. His grace has been revealed. It's all over the world. The next time somebody tells you, I don't believe there's no God, I don't believe in that God stuff. I said, man, look at creation. Are you serious? Have you looked at nature? Yeah, but no, have you looked at nature? Really? The hibernation of animals, the feeding of it, it's amazing. We got two bats in our attic, by the way. Just to let y'all know that. Well, I don't know if they're still there, huh? Yeah, they're on the outside of our trestle in the attic. And we had a guy come out and look at them, a special guy that does bats, because we heard it can be dangerous and cause sickness and all. So we went up in the attic and crawled around, come back. So they're outside, they're in a screen, they're harmless, they actually eat insects, you'll be all right. There's nothing, they hadn't done any damage to the attic or anything, and nothing's up there. But here's the point I want to say this. These bats, he said, probably what happened, they go in groups. I don't know if the term he used. colonies. They go in colonies. And Don might know this because he's a bird guy. Are they considered a bird? So, this mammal, they go in colonies. He said they go 7 to 10 to 12, maybe in a colony, and they fly. And they fly south for the winter. He says, your two probably got broke away from the colony and got stuck there and just lost their colony. And as soon as it gets cold, it's been so mild, as soon as it gets cold, they're probably flying away. He said they fly as far as Hawaii in just about 4 or 5 days. Now, you tell me how a bat, you ever seen a bat? I mean, big old black things and little, I mean, a bat hangs upside down, comes out at night, has a friend named Robin. Bats, think about this. What tells these bats to fly thousands of miles at a certain time of year? That's the direction and authority of God that does that. To think these bats, geese same way, you see them fly in the V formation. That's by design. And they change off. I need to get them in the church to change out volunteers. Are you kidding me? It's the same three leading the pack. Brrr. Come on, guys, change out. Geese teach the church something. That when they get tired, hey, George, okay. And they back off, and George comes up. Hey, Harry, okay, Harry backs off. I think Harry comes up. God told them that. That's an amazing thing. So when people say, I don't believe in God, say, what about the geese? What about them? Have you seen them? Have somebody, don't believe in God, explain that. Really have me, okay, you explain to me then how they know to get in a V and how they know how to change out, how they know when to fly at a certain time. Really explain that. Well, it gets cold, so they fly, okay? Why they do a V? Can they say the alphabet? Do they know letters? I mean, really, where's their process of thinking? A geese doesn't sit there and say, hey, Harry, what you want to do a V formation today or an X or a C or an O? What do you want to do? An O, that'd be kind of hard, wouldn't it? Be flying sideways. Oh, what? How do you want to fly? God does that. I mean, really? How does a snake know when to shed its skin? Y'all have all found snake skin, right? It sheds it. You come across and found crinkly snake skin. It's like, how do they know? I'm just going to, I don't know, change coats. I just feel like my back's itching. Slide out. They know. That's God give them that nature. They know. I mean, how much more could God do to prove his reality? Between the animal world, between space, between oceans and mountains, between human life. Are you kidding me? I mean, how a child is born with the products used? I mean, really? And a child comes out of that? How can you explain that? I mean, really? It's amazing. And those traits and that personality and those looks go in the next generation. You see your child in their eyes, but man, you look just like your mama. You look just like your daddy. My Lord, you look so much. I mean, how can we, a world, because rebellion is in the land. It always has been since the fall of man. Rebellion. Rebellion against God's truth opens the door for Satan's lies. And we believe the lie more than we believe the truth. And that's what we live by. Talk about evil people. That's what they live by. So, guard your heart and guard your mind and only allow the truth of God to come into your heart to keep you, to guide you. And we need to pray for our homes and pray for our families and pray for our children. My son on a field trip, I'll say this in closing, my son on a field trip to school about a month or two ago, and went to this haunted hospital up in Harmony. I didn't know they had one, but some kind of old, y'all know what I'm talking about. And they say they got these spirits in this house. And you go in, and there's a little ball, and if you hold the ball and call out this girl's name, it starts shaking and all this stuff. And it was really, you know, some weird stuff. And Jamie came home, I picked him up. And I mean, he's been raised in church for 16 years, you know. And he comes home from that experience, and he goes, I believe in God now. I said, Tiki, go on the dark side and see the light? Okay. Whatever works. I mean, he's always believed in God. He didn't mean that. He's just saying, you know. But what happened? We stopped on the way back in the church parking lot, and I prayed with him. and rebuked any wrong spirits, any foul spirits, any demonic spirits from following us home and coming into our house from that experience. We need to take those things seriously. That there is demonic spirits, little devil spirits all over the world trying to get inside of mankind. Now, people say that a Christian cannot have a demonic spirit. Here's what I believe. A Christian cannot be possessed as far as a devil having their soul. But a Christian can definitely be oppressed by a demonic spirit. I mean, you don't believe me? How many times you felt that way as a Christian? Really? You're like, oh, something's got me. We can definitely be oppressed by demonic spirits. And they can come into our lives. They don't have possession of our soul, but they can definitely cause a lot of havoc in our lives. So what do? We bind them and we rebuke them in the name of Jesus. And like the Bible says, every demon must bow and must flee in the name of Jesus. James 4 says, resist the devil. First, let's submit to God. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So we must first submit to the authority of God. There is a God. Psalm 19 tells us the heavens glorify, but it glorifies the heavens declares glory and the firmament of his handiwork. I mean, we just see it. One of the kids came in this morning for church and says, man, it was raining, then it was sunny at the same time, then I saw a blue sky, and I'm like, yeah, God just played with us this morning. He's just playing around. It's funny how things are. There is a God, church. There is a God. Evil comes from rebelling against truth, so don't rebel against truth. Embrace it and love it. Grace has been revealed to you. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that you have revealed grace from generation to generation. Even the Old Testament, your grace was being pointed to, and then you fulfilled it in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for that grace coming to earth and changing everything. Let our eyes be open to see only truth. Let us not be deceived by what is coming that is not truth. Let us only embrace that which you have for us, Lord, that our hearts and our minds stay upon you and stay pure and stay clean before you, that we can walk in what you called us to walk in. Lord, I just pray over our body of people, all the people that are part of this church, our children, our grandchildren, Lord, that you guard them and protect them from harm. As the devil and all the evil is so around us, I pray for divine protection from only a God that can do it, you, Lord, the one and only true living God, that you watch over our children, watch over our families, watch over our homes, and protect us. And we give you praise and give you glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for your time this morning. If I get the usher to come up, we'll receive our morning offering.